Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk, the most fact-driven, unbiased, true crime channel. Now, first on the docket, another discovery disclosure has been made in the Lori Vallow, Chad DeBell matters. Second, two officers have been relieved of duty. Wait until you hear what they did. Third, new charges in the Boulder supermarket case. Fourth, an alternate juror from the Derek Chauvin matter speaks out. Fifth, someone has been found to be wrongfully accused. Congratulations. Don't forget to pay your bill. Six, a guy named Jeff, well, his mansion's been demolished. And finally, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Crime Talk, and my name is Scott Reich. Thanks for watching. If you haven't done so, please hit that subscribe button as well as that little bell. Hit the little bell so that you receive notifications of when we go live or put up new content. A lot of people are saying that they are not getting notifications, so please hit the little bell. All right, first on the dock of the day, another discovery disclosure has been made by the district attorney in the Lori Vallow and Chad DeBell matters. And coincidentally, this disclosure was made roughly about the same time that Mark Means was appearing on Court TV yesterday. You can see our video from yesterday, complaining about all the resources that the government has. My position on that is, what did you think you were getting into when you were doing criminal defense? Okay. Needless to say, Mr. Means should have stopped the public appearances and got to work. Apparently, there's discovery that he can come and inspect. Apparently, all of this evidence has either previously been disclosed, but the district attorney is double-checking, triple-checking to make sure it's been disclosed so that there are no allegations that they haven't received this information. Now, normally, these type of disclosures are done informally. And the fact that the government is doing this is simply to say, we don't trust the defense in this particular case because all they do is whine, cry, and cry foul that we're not doing something appropriately. So there you go. You have it now, Mr. Means. Go get the discovery and get to work so you can be prepared. Since we're supposed to have a jury trial, and now all we have is a status date to get a trial date, and I don't understand why we have to schedule it all the way out in June. Like, nobody can find 30 minutes on the court's docket the entire month of April or May? Really? Come on, guys. Let's get this case rolling. Next on the docket, two officers have been relieved down in Florida. And how this all came about for the officers being relieved was that a woman had filed a complaint after she received a letter from the state saying her license was going to be suspended because she had not paid six traffic tickets. All were issued on the same day. Now, police records show that she was never, in fact, pulled over. In a similarly situated matter, a law office asked a gentleman by the name of Resel Soso Polo if he wanted help dealing with his 10 tickets that he had received. Well, the problem was Mr. Polo had never been pulled over, but he remembered driving by two Hialeah motorcycle police officers. He filed a complaint with the police department. Newspaper actually started to dig into this a little bit more. It turns out that the officers were allegedly creating false traffic tickets so that they can meet their numbers. Once these complaints were made, an investigation was initiated, and it turned out that two Hialeah officers, Ernesto Arias Martinez, 23, and Armando Perez, 40, been issuing bogus tickets for revenue purposes. Now they're both facing multiple counts of official misconduct. Perez had been with the department for 5 years, Martinez for four. In an unusual move, the police officers' union in this particular case is distancing itself from the pair of officers. They issued a statement stating, quote, "As law enforcement officers, we are entrusted in protecting and serving our residents and these alleged actions have violated the trust of the people, and rightfully so, end quote. In a separate statement, the police union states, quote, we ask that our community not judge all dedicated officers by the alleged actions of two, period, end quote. I'm not sure if these two officers should be a potential contestant for the dumb criminal contestant of the day. Did they think that people would not be able to show that they never received a ticket on that particular day? All that information would go into their CAD system. It would be recorded. And clearly this was about meeting quotas, which is why I have a really big problem with police officers whose job it is to issue traffic citations. Why? Because it's always about the money. And ain't nothing legal until the government gets their cut. We'll leave it right there. Can you believe that it has already been 30 days since the horrific shooting at the King Soopers in Boulder, Colorado? Ahmad Al-Alil Alyssa had originally been charged with 10 counts of first-degree murder and one count of attempted murder before prosecutors filed an amended complaint stemming from the March 22nd mass shooting at the King Soopers. Now the DA has filed 43 new criminal charges against Alyssa. Therefore, he's now facing a 54-count complaint that includes 10 counts of first-degree murder, 33 counts of attempted murder, and one count of first-degree assault, and 10 counts of using a prohibited large-capacity magazine. Whew, I'm sure that's got him concerned, doesn't it? Yeah, not really. He is looking, obviously, spending the rest of his life in prison, but the proceedings have all been stayed because there is an issue related to competency. So once a competency evaluation is returned, then we'll have a better idea of how this case is going to proceed. But needless to say, Mr. Alyssa will not be walking amongst the community anytime soon. All right, before we continue on with the docket, let's take a quick recess. Please go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up for a background subscription service. You'll be happy you did. If there's anyone out there you were ever curious about what was in their background, now is the time to do it. If you're going to get involved with somebody, now is the time to do it. When you go to crimetalksearch.com, you put in the name, literally millions of public records are searched, and a report is generated. And it's going to give you a report. If they have multiple social media accounts, you're going to find it. If they have multiple phone numbers, multiple email addresses, it's going to be found. And more importantly, you're going to get information regarding criminal history. Hopefully the person you're searching has none whatsoever, but if it's there, it's going to be found. You're going to get everything you'd want to know, whether you're going into business or whether you're going into a personal relationship, you're going to be able to find out the information you want to know. So go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up today. You'll be happy you did. Next on the docket, an alternate juror in the Derek Chauvin matter has come forward and appeared on CBS this morning. The alternate jurors heard all of the evidence, received the instructions, as well as heard closing argument in the Derek Chauvin matter. The alternate jurors did not deliberate. They were there just in case somebody was removed during the trial or somehow became unable to deliberate in the jury deliberations. The alternate jurors would have been called back if that were the case. Obviously, as we all know, no alternate jurors were needed simply because the jury reached a verdict in roughly 10 hours. Well, this particular alternate juror, a woman by the name of Lisa Christensen, said that she is happy with the verdict. She thought that he would be found guilty of something, he being obviously Derek Chauvin. She was a little surprised that her fellow jurors found Derek Chauvin guilty of all of the charges. She felt that the most compelling portion of the trial was the testimony of Dr. Tobin. Apparently, Dr. Tobin was, to her, really where everything was explained. It was explained in a nice, simple fashion, and Dr. Tobin was able to break it down for her, literally to the moment where it said that Dr. Tobin said that George Floyd lost his life. She thought the defense basically overpromised a little bit in opening statements and never really delivered on what they promised in opening statements. That's one thing the defense can never do, Keep the defense opening short. Don't make promises that you can't keep. Never commit to your client testifying. Bottom line, the burden is always with the prosecution. Well, this juror, Ms. Christensen, obviously now has her 15 minutes of fame. But she, like a lot of people, just doesn't understand how it went from a counterfeit $20 bill to somebody winding up dead, in this particular case, George Floyd. Welcome to reality, Ms. Christensen. These types of situations happen on a daily basis. Wouldn't it be nice if no one ever got in trouble and the police never had to be called? Yeah, that's not going to happen. It's just not the way human nature is built. Next on the docket, imagine being wrongfully accused of an internet sex crime allegedly involving children. You get arrested. You cooperate because you have no idea what is taking place and why you're being charged in any way. You get taken off to jail. You cannot make your bond. And so you wind up spending the next year in jail. In fact, in this case, 14 months to be exact. And finally, the district attorney figures out that your IP address is not consistent with what they believe to be downloaded, so that you're basically, your IP address had been used for illegal activity by somebody else. So after that 14 months gets done and over with, you're finally released, wrongfully accused. What do you get from the jail? That's right, a $4,000 bill, plus charges including a $35 booking fee and the $10 daily housing fee, $5 hygiene fee, and a nearly $3 hygiene supply refill fee. All of this happened to David Allen Jones, and he was finally released from the Clark County Detention Center in Kentucky. He's now suing the jail because he doesn't believe that he should have to pay. But our legislatures out there have come up with laws very similar, that if you're released or you spend time in custody, you basically have to pay your rent. And so instead of the jail just saying, hey, sorry about all that, they're demanding their $4,000. These wrongful allegations, which the district attorney said were, oops, their fault, has resulted in him losing a job, not being able to get a job. People that knew him won't even talk to him because they believe the allegation, even though they now know that it was a big mistake, and that it has wrongfully, and that it has affected his life so much that the only way he is going to get relief is if he is vindicated by not having to pay the $4,000. So, to Mr. Jones, I wish you luck. You are an example of how people do get wrongfully accused. And I bring that up because there were some comments the other day where I said, people think they'll never get in trouble. People think that they'll never have to hire a criminal defense attorney. Well, meet Mr. Jones. And if you don't have money to go out and hire a private attorney who can work on your case a little more diligently than the public defender's office, where they have hundreds or if not thousands of cases to work on, but finally the truth comes out and the case is dismissed, you could lose everything. So for all those people that say, well, I would never get in trouble and it would never happen to me, here is an example of it happening. Hey, remember that guy named Jeff? That's right. We still have to deal with Ghislaine Maxwell and her quest to be released on bond. Well, one thing we can say that's finally good that's come of this is that his mansion was sold. Remember, he had this nice waterfront mansion down in Palm Beach. Well, it's sold for $18.5 million. The money from the proceeds from the sale are going to a victim compensation program, which will be distributed to Epstein's victims. Now the house has finally been demolished and the new owner is going to build something much nicer. Next on the docket, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Please meet Jamichael Walton. He's 30 years old. He was fleeing on foot as well as pulling and kicking away from officers, and he's been charged with threatening to kill the mother of his brother's child. Now, he was arrested in a town called Lenoir, which is about 75 miles north of Charlotte. After being handcuffed and placed in a squad car, Mr. Walton allegedly threatened the arresting officer by saying, quote, "When I get out of here, I'm going to shoot up this car and y'all." Not exactly something that's going to endear yourself to the police officers. And the police officers noticed a little, you know, that little something right there by your nose. Uh-huh. Yeah, could that possibly be the cocaine that he had in his pocket? Yeah. So next time you get arrested, make sure if you're doing drugs, you got drugs on your person, maybe you wipe your nose there. Mr. Walton, you got a little something, as you can see there on his booking photo. All right. That's all we have for you today. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time on Crime Talk.